To 2 Kings in the Old Testament, 2 Kings. The 6th chapter. 2 Kings 6. That's quite a group we had up here, huh? Amen. Thankful for that. Thank you, Brother Shane, for stirring those hearts to be a part of that. And Brother Matt for leading that. That's great. Let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. It's too narrow. It's too small. We need to enlarge our quarters here, is what the school of the prophets is saying to this old prophet Elisha. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, cut down trees, have everyone to cut down a tree. I lost my place. Cut down every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go you. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. And he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick, and he cast it in thither. In other words, he threw it in the water, he put it in there. And the iron, are you listening? And the iron did swim. Therefore, said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand, and he took it. Our Father, we come before your throne of grace and mercy. And Lord, we want to lift up those that are not able to be with us today. Some of them are not here because of sickness. Some families have sickness with them. And Lord, we know that you're concerned about every small detail of our life. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts today through this passage. Lord, I'm desperate today. I need you. I need this passage in my life. Lord, I pray that if there's others here in this congregation that are desperate for revival, have a hunger in their heart and their soul to be like you and to have revival, to have your spirit working in our lives on an everyday basis, to have power in our life that we're not experiencing now. Our church to have power that does not come through programs or through our ability, but only through you. We pray, God, that you'd take charge. Lord, I pray that you'd speak through me, that it not be of me, that it would be of you. And Lord, I pray that you hide me behind the cross, and the words that I speak would be of you, not of me. Lord, I know that if you do the work, It'll be great. If I do it, it'll be a big zero. Take charge of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm aware that not everyone has the desire for revival. Sometimes we become sometimes we become satisfied with a ho-hum. Sometimes we don't want things to change. We don't want to move out of our comfort zone. We want to just stay where we're at because this is where we're comfortable at. We're doing what we're comfortable with doing. And we really, it's not so much that we're against God doing something big in our life as that we're just satisfied with the ho-hum. We're just satisfied with the way things are right now. There's not that hunger. Now, I don't know what brings that about. I think there's some things that we can do that will whet our appetite for revival, for God to do a work in our life. For some, it takes a tragedy in their family to bring them back to their senses as to where they should be focusing their attention. For some, it's a health issue in their own life that says that I'm not going to be here from now on. This may be my last day. It might be my last breath. And I know, I remember talking to Roy Olf. He had a very serious heart attack, and his health has been terrible ever since. But he said it changes your perspective about everything. It changes your perspective about your family. It changes your perspective about the things that you have around you. You thought your house was important. You thought your car was important. The land was important. The job was important. The kind of clothes you wear or whatever, all those things you thought were important all at once. Who wins the ball game is not important anymore. It brings us to a place of heavenly perspective. For us to come to a place that the grades that our kids make are not as important as their relationship with Christ, we are gaining ground. I didn't say those great boys. Listen to me. I didn't say them grades weren't important. I said that it was more important. Our relation with Christ is much more important. But sometimes we will pour more energy into that than we will in the relationship with Christ. Now, what has taken place in this passage that we've read today? I mean, I love it. It's one of my most favorite passages of Scripture in the Bible. I love this passage. It is just jam-packed with significance in our own life. It is jam-packed with symbolism of what has taken place there, the man of God, the seminary student, but also what is its relationship to the New Testament? Is there a New Testament equivalent to this passage in the Old Testament? What is it that represents iron swimming? Well, I believe there's a lot. So let's dig into it. Let's see what the Bible says when iron swims. Well, first of all, without the axe, the student's labor was futile. Without the axe, his labor was futile. When Jesus, you know, it's not been, I don't know, not very many weeks ago, I preached on Jesus meeting the disciples on the lake, and he had breakfast fixed. Do you remember that?